This morning, the sermon that we heard was about the reality of hell. And as promised, I've tried to prepare a lesson this evening about heaven so that we can have a balanced view of eternity, what's available, what's possible for us at the end of this life. I will say this. Especially when you're talking about a subject like heaven, it's a daunting task. In fact, I'll have a quote here in a little while from a brother whose name you'll remember, who tried to do the same kind of thing that I'm doing, and I'm sure he did it very well. But there was really only one thing that he talked about during the whole lesson, and you'll recognize that when we get to it. There's so much you could talk about, so many things that we could look at, so many things that we are looking forward to. But just bear with me, and I hope that the lesson will be beneficial to you. The title of the lesson tonight is A Home Called Heaven. You know, the Bible teaches that there is a place called heaven. At the dedication of the temple, Solomon said, "The heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built." 1 Kings chapter 8 and 27. The psalmist said in Psalm 73 and 25, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" He also said, "If I ascend upon into heaven, thou art there." Psalm 139 and 8. We are encouraged by Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 to let our light so shine that others seeing our good works might glorify our Father which is in heaven. Concerning the ascension of our Lord, we read, "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." Mark 16 and verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 3 and 22 speaks of the Lord as having gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And concerning heaven being a place, how comforting are the words of John 14, 1 through 6. "In my Father's house are many mansions." In other words, many homes. "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." But you know, the subject of this morning's lesson suggests there is a heaven as well. Because just talking about the reality of hell implies that there is a heaven. Matthew 25, 46, a verse we spent some time on this morning, speaks of eternal life, but in the same passage, Jesus also spoke of eternal punishment. In John 5, 28 and 29, the Lord taught the resurrection of life, but in the same passage, told of the resurrection of damnation. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, speaks to us of the rest that will come to be saved. But in the same passage, Paul speaks of flaming fire taking vengeance on those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. I have a home called heaven, and I am going there. You know, there's a great need today in our society for assurance. How often is it that you hear statements like this with doubt and unbelief interwoven into them, saying things like, "You know, I'm not really sure if I were to die right now whether I would go to heaven." Or someone saying, "I would give anything in the world to really know I will be saved in eternity." But brethren, the Bible teaches that we can know that. 1 John 2:3 reads, "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Also, John says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." 1 John 5:13. What assurance in those verses. Brother preacher Rue Porter told a doctor once, "You could tell me that I was going to drop dead and in 15 minutes and I would not bat an eye because I've been preparing for that moment for too long." What assurance that he had. This is very reminiscent of Paul's statement in 2 Corinthians 5:1. "For we know that in our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." What is the grounds of the assurance that we have? We know that the ground of our assurance of heaven is not our own goodness. Titus 3:3-7, and Ephesians 2:8-10 talk about this. However, the grounds of our assurance must be the justifying grace of God, Titus 3:7, the cleansing blood of Christ, Ephesians 1:7, and the testimony of the Word of God, 1 John 5:1. The Word of God promises salvation from our sins if we become a baptized, penitent believer. Mark 16:15-16 and Acts 2:38. And it also promises an eternal life if we remain faithful. Revelation 2:10. And the one who made that promise is faithful and true. Revelation 19:11. Not only do I have a home in heaven, but when I get there, I will spend only one day. Have you ever thought about that? That when you get to heaven, that one day is going to last forever. The reason we know that is because in heaven, there is no night, but one eternal day. Listen to the beautiful words of Revelation 21:23-25. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." Additionally, John writes, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Revelation 22:5. Yes, that day, that eternal day will last forever. The last part of the verse we just read reads like this, "And they shall reign forever and ever." Remember the life eternal we talked about this morning, Matthew 25:46. How can you describe life eternal? How can we possibly get our minds around that? I have a short illustration that tries to do that, and I'm not saying that this illustration comes even close to being able to describe eternity, but imagine, if you will, that you had a steel ball the size of the earth, and you had a little ant. How long would it take an ant to walk around the circumference of the earth? Probably at least years, if not decades or centuries, just to walk around the circumference of the earth. Well, how long do you think it would take for that same ant, if he walked in the same path, to wear a groove a quarter of an inch deep in that steel ball? Well, how long do you think it would take if that same ant were in that groove and he just kept walking, I don't know how he got his food and how he lived so long, but if he just kept walking in that groove, how long do you think it would take for him to wear the earth in half if it were a steel ball? Well, if you can imagine that kind of time, then eternity will still be in the morning. It won't even have gotten past the early hours of the morning. Yes, I have a home called heaven. I am going there. I will spend only one day there, and it will last forever. But the question is, well, what will it be like to be there? Well, number one, we will be with our Father. Doesn't Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 read, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Revelation 21:3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with me, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." John 1:18 says, "Now no man has seen God at any time, but then we shall." Brother Gus Nichols was once given the assignment to try to discuss heaven. And in being given that assignment, the person giving it to him said, "We want you, when you deliver this message, to take us there, to make us feel like that is where we are." And toward the end of that lesson, he had only discussed one point in the whole lesson. What was that point? Brother Nichols says, "I want to go to heaven," he said, and this was his one point, "because that is where God is." Very little, if anything, in that lesson was said about the streets of gold, the walls of jasper, and the gates of pearl. You see, brethren, it's where our Father is that makes all the difference. There could be no golden streets, no gates of pearl, and it still would be worth it. In addition to being with our Father, we will be with Jesus, our older brother. Jesus came down from heaven, John 6:33. He ascended back into heaven, Mark 16:19. He is presently in heaven, 1 Peter 3:22. And he is going to come back from heaven, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. You see, Christ and heaven are inseparably attached. A young Christian asked an elderly Christian woman if she would like for him to read the sweetest verse in the Bible. And when she said yes, he began to read from John 14. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And then he stopped. At that point is when the elderly Christian woman said, "No, that's not the sweetest verse. Keep reading." The young man continued to read, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Christian lady said, "That is the sweetest verse. It's not the mansions I want, it's the Christ that I want." But in addition to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to associate with the redeemed of all the ages. Think about Matthew 8:11. Think about the implications of this verse. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." How sweet and heavenly is the fellowship that we today enjoy on earth. It should be. Even to where at times, and you guys have probably experienced this, I know that Marie and I have, even at times when you might stay up till all hours of the night visiting with people of like faith. But think about how precious it would be to talk to Abraham about his experiences on Moriah, to talk with Moses about what happened on Mount Pisgah, to visit with Elijah about Carmel, and to hear John tell of his experiences on the Isle of Patmos. What about Paul talking about Mars Hill? And perhaps even to Polycarp about the Roman persecution and his victory over that persecution. But in addition to the redeemed brethren of all the ages, we'll also be able to be with the loved ones that we have lost. You know, David fully expected a glad reunion with his loved ones who died before he did. He said concerning his little child who had died, "But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." 2 Samuel 12 and 23. We know that on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were recognizable. We know from the account of the rich man and Lazarus that they also were recognizable. How wonderful are the reunions that we have had when we've been separated from our loved ones for a long period of time. I know that what little separation I've had with my family, when I come back from a week in Honduras, that is a very special time for me at that reunion. But you know, the kind of joy that comes from that pales in comparison to that glad reunion that we will all experience with our loved ones on the other side. Heaven is also a place where I will be at rest. John encouraged us by writing, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. The laborer longs for the rest of home at the close of a long day. The student longs for rest after a day of hard study. The athlete longs for rest after working every muscle in his exhausted body. The traveler longs for the rest of home after a long, wearisome day of travel. In like manner, the faithful, elderly Christian and sometimes weary child of God longs for this promised rest in heaven. Heaven is also a place that I will never again experience illness, pain, or affliction. You guys have done this like I have. When you've gone to visit sick friends or loved ones, oftentimes those sick people are in agonizing pain, and you have to wonder, who in the world would want to stay on this side of eternity in that condition? How beautiful it is to hear these words. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Revelation 21 and verse 4. We also read, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Romans 8 and verse 18. Brother Jack Exum wrote a beautiful essay. Probably you've heard it before. I'm going to read it to you and then read the poem that came from it, entitled "No Cripples There." And this essay was about his own son. He said, "When our son was but a wee lad of two, he became a victim of polio. He was sentenced to braces, corsets, crutches, and a wheelchair. When polio struck, he launched a counterattack of his own. He began to sing, and he has been singing ever since. You know, it wasn't so bad until he began to make up his own songs. And he even composed his own tunes. One day when he was about five, he was laying on the couch and he began to sing a new song. And Brother Exum says he paused and he called out, "Daddy, are there any crippled boys in heaven?" "Nope," was my reply. It was then that I heard him sigh, "Boy, I wish I could hurry up and go there." From this experience, one person wrote the following poem. "One day I saw a crippled boy watch children playing ball. Had to blink the tears away in answer to his call. Hey, mister, if you've got the time, would you like to sit down and talk? I'd like to run and play with them, but I just can't walk. I'd like to chase the ball a mile or climb that hollow tree or swim down in the swimming hole or take a hike, you see. Well, one day I'll do those things without a thought or care. Mister, when I get up to heaven, there ain't no cripples there. I'll go swimming in the river and climb that hollow tree and hike down the golden streets throughout eternity. But now I'll just watch the children as they run and jump and play and know that I'll be like them when I get home someday." Heaven is also a place where we will never shed another tear. Remember what we said from Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 a little while ago, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Revelation chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. In heaven, we will never again experience a separation. We experienced one of those Thursday night, didn't we? For those of you that were there, and it was pretty tough on some of the people there, wasn't it? With the mosses. On this side of eternity, there are separations due to job changes. Due to our pursuing an education. Sometimes these separations are due to military service. Sometimes they're due to illness and perhaps at times even to death. But you see, in heaven, there will be no more goodbyes. You see, faithful Christians never see one another for the last time in heaven. It never happens. Because you will always see them again sometime in eternity. We sing a song called "Beyond This Land of Parting." And you know, that's what that song's about. When we get past this land of parting, we're going to be in a place where we never have to do that again. Sure, you might spend some time over here with your friends, or some of your other friends or your family, and you might spend some time over here with Jesus, and you know, you might spend some time over there with Abraham, but you're going to come back to these friends again eventually, aren't you? Because there's all eternity. You never have to say goodbye to a loved one ever again. Heaven is also a place where we will never know death again. I don't know how it is for you, but every time I attend a funeral, it seems like I come away longing for a better land. And there is such a better land. God is going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Death and hell will have been cast into the lake of fire. No more death, Revelation 20 and 14. How comforting is it to know, to you, that in heaven, when you're looking upon all the hilltops that stretch forever, so to speak, that none of those hilltops are going to have a cemetery on them. Not a single cemetery in heaven. No more death. In heaven, we will worship God forevermore. Revelation 22:3 states, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve him. You want to know what you're going to do for eternity in heaven if you go there? You're going to be serving God forevermore. We often sing, "When all of God's singers get home." Now just try to picture when such takes place. And think about, if you sit close enough to listen to me sing, you'll be able to relate to this. When all the imperfections are removed from each other's voices, and we all begin to join in and sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. What a joy it is today to worship God now, even with that, the way that it is with our human voices. But it is going to be unspeakable the amount of joy that we have and the blessing that we'll get to do so in the eternal temple of God. And lastly, in heaven, we will be home. Trying to tell his mommy what a little three-year-old boy had learned in church about Enoch. He says, "At the close of day, after God and Enoch ends should and do, God had walked and talked as good friends should and do. God turned to Enoch and said, 'Enoch, it's late in the day. Why don't you just come on home with me?' And someday, some glad day, that's what will happen to all of us if we remain faithful. Many of you have seen the beautiful homes on the hillside and on the estates. I know I've seen a lot of them in the business that I used to have. I used to see beautiful, gorgeous, huge homes. But you know, all of these homes are going to appear as just empty sheds compared with the home of the soul. Because that home is a place of love, of joy, of worship, of peace, of contentment, where all of our needs are supplied. That is what heaven will be like. What if I were to tell you that I know a land where men are never sick? You know, anybody would want to go there if they've had any exposure to sickness at all. Suppose I could say, I know a land where men never shed tears. Everybody would want to go there as well. Suppose it was possible to say, I know a land where men never suffer pain. Everybody would like to go to that place. Suppose I were able to say, I know a land where men never die. Everybody would want to go there. You see, anybody would want to go to a place that just has even one of those blessings. But heaven has them all. Don't you want to go? Does that sound like a place you want to go? Sounds like a place that I want to go. And if it is a place that you want to go to, is there really any price that's too high to pay? Think about that. You know, sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we think, wow, boy, this life's hard. They're asking an awful lot of us down there at the church building. Is there really any price that's too high to pay for heaven? No, there isn't. Whatever burden must be borne, whatever sacrifice must be made, whatever condition must be met, whatever price must be paid, we should all gladly meet those challenges. For throughout those ceaseless ages, while we are walking in buildings with walls of jasper, as we walk the streets of gold, we will be heard to say of that, our new eternal home, the same thing that the Queen of Sheba said when she came and met Solomon. The half has never yet been told. You see, it's impossible for me to express how wonderful heaven will be. Even if we were willing to sit here and listen to a sermon 3 hours, 3 days, or 3 weeks long, there is no way that we could fully describe how wonderful heaven would be. All you and I can ultimately do is this. In regards to heaven and how glorious it will be and whether or not we should be striving to go there, it all rests on this point. We need to walk by faith and not need to walk by sight, because we simply cannot understand it. If you have any need this evening, whether to be baptized into Christ, having repented of your sins and confessed Christ, understood that Jesus is the Son of God, if you need to do that this very hour, we wish that you would come forward and let that need be known. If perhaps you've fallen away from the Lord and you would like to return to fellowship with Him, if this is the case in your life, we would earnestly urge you and beg you to make your need be known as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.